In the end, she had chosen the mahogany one with four copper handles. Model 328. 22 millimetres thick. Satin lining, insect-proof, waterproof. Built to last, according to the undertaker's assistant. Proof against everything. Except eternal rest. It's up to you, madame. For the last 3 days, that phrase had been echoing through her mind like a hammer blow. It was up to her to decide whether the coffin was to be open or closed, if the photograph was to be in colour or black and white, if the caterer was to provide sandwiches or rolls with assorted fillings. And was it absolutely necessary to deck the funeral wreath with a white ribbon saying, "To my dear husband"? It's up to you, madame. Slim, in her pearl-grey suit, a discreet lipstick matching the blusher on her cheeks, she stares at the grave. Dignified and impeccably dressed, the way Henri liked her. 55 years and 17 days of marriage. The only man she had ever slept with. The only man who had seen her naked. 20,092 shared awakenings. And then one last morning. Lying in his twin bed, he hadn't opened his eyes. The death notice said, died quietly in his sleep. A deviation from the normal etiquette that his only son, Frederic, had not appreciated. Impossible to think of him there, inside the box that the gravediggers are going to lower into the hole in the ground before covering with earth. Familiar figures surround her. Dr. Dubois. The local bigwigs, distant cousins from the countryside. Her faithful Maria gives her a discreet little nod. From now on, Marguerite Delorme will be known as the notary's widow. Beside her, in a black suit, Frederic is holding her elbow while biting his lower lip to repress any show of emotion. Carol, her daughter-in-law, has her hand on their son Ludovic's shoulder. In church just now, he paid a brief tribute to his grandfather, with whom he shared few words, but the same passion for tennis. The little boy was trembling as he read from his piece of paper. Then he had come back to sit beside his grandmother, who had patted his cheek. Moved, Carol had looked away. The undertaker's men are letting the coffin down into the hole. She closes her eyes and squeezes Ludovic's hand. Her son is holding her elbow even more firmly. When the ropes are pulled away, she feels that the worst is behind her. People file past. Madame Thingamy's little bow, Monsieur So-and-so's comment. How is she supposed to react? She courteously accepts the storm of condolences. 85 is a good age. He led an exemplary life. Be brave. Strangers take her hand and hold it for a long time, in silence. Who will come next? She wonders whether someone will become confused and offer her their heartfelt congratulations instead. Then it will be time for the waltz of finger food and coffee cups. Yesterday she'd visualized how the ceremony would progress, and now here it is, the real thing. Her thoughts are muddled by a sleepless night and the unusual September warmth. She tells each person, "I'll be fine," as if she were the one who had to comfort them, and because she has nothing left to hope for now. She doesn't believe in the great reunion in a world beyond the grave. They were Henri and Maggie. Now there's only Maggie. She declined to have the reception in the hall next to the church. She prefers the comfort of her own home, surrounded by her own furniture and ornaments. A point of reference in the middle of a situation that she can't control anymore. The way other people look at her redefines her. She has shifted into sepia. Muffled voices mingle in her head. "You really ought to have a good cry. Do sit down. Have something to drink. Would you like a cup of tea? An aspirin? A tranquilizer?" She repeats the only words still at her command. "I'll be fine." On the doorstep, Frederic kisses her on the forehead, as he has always seen his father kiss her. Ludovic nestles close to her skirt and murmurs, "I love you, Granny."